Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. This morning I'm going to give some scriptural foundation. And then I have a message I'm going to preach. It'll not be long, especially with the sound not working as well. But I want you to be able to understand the biblical principles. They're all going to be found in these verses I give as a scriptural foundation. I will be reading them to you. If you look online, you'll find that those verses are going to be on the screen as well, and you'll be able to see the verses as I read as well. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." In other words, the Bible is teaching that God's truth comes to us precept upon precept, truth upon truth, line upon line. The Christian life is never in great spurts. The Christian life is very slowly. We grow in the Lord just as we have many other ways in life we grow slowly. Exodus chapter 23, in verses 28, 29, and 30. The Bible says, "And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land be desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. But by little and little I will drive them out before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land." So God told the nation of Israel that when they came in the land of Canaan, it would not be an empty land. It was full of many of the other countries that would be enemies to the Israelites. But God said He would drive them out a little bit at a time. He says, by little and little. The Bible tells us also in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, "Thou shalt not be frightened at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee." Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's telling us basically the same thing that God told the Israelites in the book of Exodus. But God is recording His word to two different groups of people. Because you'll recall in Exodus, those are the children of Israel that came out of bondage. But in Deuteronomy, those are those that survived the 40 years wilderness. And keep in mind, there were only Caleb and Joshua that were over 40 years of age. Everyone else died in the wilderness. That's why the book of Deuteronomy is called the Second Law. That's what Deuteronomy means, Second Law. And so everything you'll find in Exodus is almost repeated again in the book of Deuteronomy. The same children of Israel, but totally different people. And then I want to read in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." Job 17 verse 9 says, "The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger." And then I want to give you one verse in the New Testament. It's found in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now that little phrase, "from glory to glory," means from one spiritual spurt of growth to another spiritual spurt of growth. One spiritual achievement to another spiritual achievement. It's the same type of word that would mean precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Stronger and stronger. By little and little. All of these phrases in Scripture are a description of the Christian life. And so this morning, I want to preach to you on the subject, God's method of spiritual growth. God's method of spiritual growth. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts from your word. I pray you'll have a truth for us. Lord, I know that we have complications with the sound. I know it's very difficult to understand every word. But I do pray that somehow you will communicate the truth of your word by your Spirit. And I pray that we'll hear enough to connect the dots and know what is being preached this morning. And that's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. You ever get frustrated with your own personal Christian life? You ever get frustrated? Honk your horn if you ever get frustrated. Okay. As a pastor of over 40 years, I have heard many different Christians throughout the years, and they'll say stuff like, "Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm growing in the Lord very much. I just don't feel like I'm being very spiritual." So many times I'll have Christians say, "Pastor, I just feel like I'm not a very good Christian." And you know, this morning I want to address that. I want us to understand God's method of spiritual growth. There's a reason you do not feel like you are where you should be. And the reason is that God is not through with your life yet. You're going to find that as you get older and older, you become more and more spiritual. Because there's a growth process. There is knowledge. There is wisdom. There is that which the Spirit of God gives you, understanding. But I want us to understand this morning that it all takes time to transpire. The first thing I want us to say is, as in physical life, spiritual life takes time and patience. Time and patience. The Bible says, by little and little, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, growing stronger and stronger from glory to glory. We do not grow physically overnight, and we certainly do not grow spiritually overnight. Now, many of our people in the last several months and a year or two have been blessed with children. We now have 5 of our ladies that are expecting new babies this year. And so we're so excited for them and their family. But when you get that new baby, it takes a while to get off milk. It takes a while to before they can get some more solid food. And then it takes a while before that food actually stays in their mouth. You know, many times you would give a bottle to a baby. I know years ago, our first two, I believe, were bottle fed, and we'd feed those babies, and we'd always have to have a diaper, a cloth diaper on our shoulder, and you pat them because you knew what you were expecting. I mean, they were going to burp it up. And if you never had that diaper there, you got it all over you. One day I had a little baby girl, and I was so happy. And I just held her up like that, and she just let go of all the milk she had just had. All the way on my head, down my face, down my clothes. Well, that's what we expect out of little children. There are a lot of joy, but there are a lot of work. And you know, young Christians are like that as well. We were all like that as young Christians. And if you're here this morning and you haven't been a Christian very long, then you have to realize that just as it takes a while to grow physically, it takes a long while to grow spiritually. And in just so the spiritual life is just like the physical life. We have to be patient and we have to give it time. So if you haven't been saved long, give it some time. If you're disappointed in yourself, don't be. God's not through with you. Be patient with God's working in your life, because God has a great plan for all of our lives, and we have to patiently wait for that. The second thing I want to say is, as in physical life, the spiritual life benefits from nutrition and exercise. Nutrition and exercise. If we can get the right food in us, and we can exercise our muscles and go out and play as young children, which they haven't been able to do a lot of lately. But if you can eat the right food, and if you can get out and exercise, you're going to find your physical body is going to take care of itself. You are going to be in relatively good health if you're eating the right food and you're exercising, walking, hiking, playing in a park, doing something for physical endeavor. You're going to find that your physical body will naturally grow and take care of itself. Well, so it is with your spiritual life as well. If you will learn to pray, if you'll learn to get into God's Word, if you'll learn to get into church, and boy, we need church, amen? Amen. Well, a few of you were able to hear that. We need church. It's essential. And we need to have a place where we can meet together and assemble together. We need prayer. We need Bible reading. We need church. We need fellow Christians to grow. The Bible says we're to edify one another. And that means to build each other up. You know, it's good to see each other, but in a setting like this, we just don't get to talk with each other. And God wants us to have a church building where we can assemble and talk with each other. Well, it is my prayer that in time we'll be able to get inside and fellowship, hear our Sunday school teachers teaching, hear the singing, hear the preaching, and be able to fellowship with each other once again like God wants us to. So there's spiritual nutrition. That's prayer, God's Word, church, fellow believers. But there's also spiritual exercise. You see, it's not enough to just take in good food. If you never exercise your body, that nutrition will lie dormant and not be of good use. We need good nutrition to fuel the exercise that helps our bodies. We need to pray, read the Word of God, go to church, be around fellow Christians. But if we never exercise our spiritual muscles, we'll never be all that God intended for us to be. So God wants us to exercise. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, by witnessing, by sharing Jesus Christ with others. We're taking in, but we're also giving out. By teaching and helping other believers, maybe discipling them one-on-one. That's a good way to exercise and flex your spiritual muscles and grow in the Lord. Also, by helping other people in need. God wants us to be very sensitive to the needs of others and have an opportunity to be a help to them. Now this afternoon, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we have 10 of the seniors of Grandview Christian Academy that have already graduated. But today, they'll be in their vehicles and we'll be able to just drive by and wave at them or drop off a card. And by the way, if you drop off a card, have a dollar or two or more in it. Have something in that card. Yeah, that was some seniors that were honking their horn there. I remember for my birthday, my grandmother always sent me the card where you could put all the dimes in it. It just never had dimes in it. So don't give them a card like that. Give them a card with a dollar or five or a 10 or a 20 or something that says to the graduates, hey, we believe in you and we want to be a blessing to you. Now that is exercising our spiritual muscles when we are sensitive to what the Lord wants us to do in helping other people. If you know people who need food, by all means, help them get some. So by plugging into church, that's another spiritual exercise. Being used as a parking lot attendant or as an usher or in the choir or a Sunday school teacher or someone who works on a bus route and brings hundreds of people to church on a weekly basis. There's got to be ways that we exercise our spiritual muscles by serving the Lord. And always remember this, the best way to serve the Lord is by serving others. Serving others. And that will help us be serving the Lord as we serve others. Jesus said, as in much as you've done it unto one of the least of these my children, you've done it unto me. That's what Jesus said. So let's be a blessing to those around us. I said, first of all, that the spiritual life is like the physical life. It takes time and patience to grow. Secondly, I said the spiritual life, like the physical life, needs nutrition and exercise. And if you give it that, our spiritual lives will be greatly benefited from the nutrition that we give our spiritual walks with God. You want to be strong in the Lord? You start praying. You start getting into God's Word. You start getting around God's people. And then you find ways to serve other people and serve the Lord, and you will start growing stronger spiritually. The third thing I want to say is this. As in physical life, the spiritual life is negatively affected if we do not get the nutrition we need and the exercise we need as Christians. You take a person and you put them on a very poor diet. Well, they're not going to be helped that much. They're not going to get the nutrition, the vitamins they need and the minerals they need and all the things that the body craves and comes from proper food. If we don't exercise our bodies, it's going to hurt us negatively. We might be prone to become diabetic or have high blood pressure or other things attack us when we don't get to be active with our physical bodies. But that's true with our spiritual bodies. If we're not praying to the Lord on a regular basis, we're not strengthening that relationship. If we're not getting into His Word, we're not understanding God's plan for our lives. See, the Bible wasn't written just to tell you about other people's lives. It was written so the Holy Spirit of God could speak to your heart and my heart, your life and my life. And so we read the Word of God realizing that God wants to speak to us because God has a plan for our lives. We've got to have prayer or else we get weaker and weaker as a believer. We've got to get into the Word of God so that we understand His plan for our lives. We have to get in church. Church is God's plan for Christians. The Bible says, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. 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 That's right. Now, I know that this world in which we live does not see the church as essential. In fact, they would think that bars and marijuana joints and Walmart and drive-thrus are far more essential. But as a believer, we understand that God says church is essential for the Christian life. Amen. Amen. And that's why you and I believers long for the day, pray for the day, where we can gather back in church and be safe, but hear the Word of God and be with other believers. And that's what we're looking for, and that's God's plan for us. We need to have a life of prayer. We need to be in the Word of God. And we need to be at church. That's the proper nutrition that we need. If we don't have these things, we will not be a strong Christian. In fact, without these things, you will still be a believer. You're still saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by works, but by His grace are we saved. But also know that you're going to be more inclined to swallow the lies of this world. The Bible tells us that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. And we know that he has a philosophy that's totally contrary to the Word of God and to the will of God. And if we get outside of our Bibles, outside of prayer, and outside of church, outside of fellowship with other believers, we're going to find that we start listening to these lies and start believing these lies. And we live in a day where many Christians who have not been faithful to the Word of God, to prayer, and to church are starting to swallow the different lies that the devil has, and it's called the philosophy of this world. Remember, the Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We do not resemble this world's philosophy, even though we live in this sin-cursed world. I also want to mention our flexing our spiritual muscles is if we're not serving, if we're not sharing Jesus Christ, if we're not helping others, then we're going to get weaker and weaker as believers. Let me encourage you, even though we cannot be in God's house when we meet, you can still call one another. You can still write one another. You can still be a blessing to many of our seniors. We can all be used of God to be a blessing to somebody, even though we're not inside the house that God has given us to worship Him with. So I want to share with you this morning, there's a reason why many Christians feel like, Pastor, I'm just not growing like I should. Pastor, I just never have matured as a believer as I feel like I should. Or Pastor, I just don't feel like a very good Christian. May I say that God's not through with any of us. And God's still working on me. And God's still working on you. And we need to be patient. We need to trust the Lord. We need to keep feeding ourselves the spiritual resources He makes available. And then we need to start flexing our spiritual muscles in serving the Lord, in helping other people, in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we will become stronger and stronger and stronger, just like the Word of God said the Israelites would in the land of Canaan, in the promised land. So the challenge is to grow as a believer and trust God that if you're taking in, you're giving out, that in God's good time, you are going to grow as a Christian and probably grow so slowly you don't notice it, but everyone else around you notices how much you've grown. Now, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're watching online and you have not invited Christ into your life, you cannot flex muscles you do not have. You cannot feed a spiritual body you have not yet discovered. But if you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you will be born again. You are born not physically, you are born again spiritually. And that happens the very moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so if you want to be a Christian and you've never invited Christ in your life, would you just say yes to Jesus? Would you say, Jesus, I want you in my life? Would you say, Jesus, I believe in you and I trust you as my Savior? I'm going to close in a simple word of prayer. And I'm going to pray a simple prayer that anyone could pray and invite Christ into their life, into their heart. There's nothing magic about prayer. But prayer is an expression of the heart when you're talking to God. And if a person has never invited Christ in their life, they by a simple prayer could say, Jesus, I want to be a Christian. And so let this prayer be yours if you have any doubt whatsoever that Jesus is your Savior and heaven is your eternal home. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Pray something like this and mean it with all of your heart. Dear Jesus, I ask you to save me. Come into my heart and forgive me from all of my sin. I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior. I believe in you. Please take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if anyone watching or anyone here prayed that simple prayer, and I know here the vast, vast majority, if not everyone here, has invited Christ in their life. But if there's just one of you who has not, I want to rejoice in you. You let us know that you trust that Christ is your Savior. We have discipleship programs where another believer can disciple you one-on-one in about a 14-week process. If you're online and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, we have materials that we can mail to you and make available to you. And so let us rejoice for everyone we ever hear of that's trusted Christ as their Savior. Well, I want to apologize for the sound being what it is. This week we're going to check it out. If we need to get another FM transmitter, we'll do that. But we'll make sure it's thoroughly checked out. And so next Sunday, we want the sound to be just right. And it won't be all garbled up like it sounds like you're getting today. Or else, everybody's going to have to be parked very, very close to Pastor to be able to hear. But we're so glad you're here. Before we have our last word of prayer, I want to mention that we've been doing a lot of work. We sent out a letter this week. How many got their letter? Honk your horn. Thank you. Well, you got to see some of the pictures. But since those pictures were made, much more work has been taking place. The new platform is looking beautiful. It's amazing. John Hoxie has helped that up, and it's just been amazing all that's been done. Members of our church have been doing a lot of the work, and we're just so very proud of them. Let me say that you are going to be amazed when you come in and you start looking around the different places and rejoice in what God has allowed us to accomplish. As you go out, you'll notice that around all of our medians, just yesterday there was poured brand new concrete. It used to be all broken up because it was, 25 years old. And so all the concrete around all the little circles and medians and entryways has been completely replaced. They were all broken up and damaged. And that was done just yesterday. And it's going to look so nice for you when it gets all finished. We have a deputy sheriff's room near the drive-through where any sheriff's deputy of Clackamas County can pull in night or day. And they have a special code that lets them enter the room from the outside. We just put a nice door on there for their security and to make it easy access. We finished up the bathrooms in the back of this building over here. It looks beautiful, amazing. And so we just praise God. The next project we're hoping for is to, we want to seal coat the parking lot and restripe it. As you'll notice, a lot of the stripes are getting very dim. It's an expensive project, and we're going to wait on it until God provides the funds. It's probably around $40,000 to get two coats of seal coat, to have all the cracks poured in with tar, a sealant, and then to have all of it striped. It's an expensive project, but we'll start now, and we'll just save our funds, and when the Lord provides, that's when we'll do it. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. We love you, each and every one, all of our staff. We pray for you. We love you. And if there's any way we can be of help to you, you let us know. You've been very good to your church. You've been meeting the needs of our church. And we want to thank you. And we want to say we deeply, deeply appreciate your faithfulness in all that you're doing as a Christian. We're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer. Brother Vestal, do you have a microphone? I want Chris Vestal. Brother Vestal's been with us almost 25 years. It seems like forever. He was only about 5 when he came on staff. Very young man. But what a blessing throughout all these years the Vestal family has been to us. And so he is going to close us in prayer. Amen. Now next Sunday, T.J. Gardner, assistant pastor / youth pastor, is going to be preaching to us. And he is a fireball. You will thoroughly enjoy that as next Sunday he'll be preaching to us. Brother Vestal, will you dismiss us in prayer? Let's a few things first.
Well, it's a joy to have our pastor preach to us this morning. Amen. And we want to thank the Lord for his faithfulness, he and Miss Vicky, and their love for us. And again, we just want to reiterate that we love our church family. We are here for you. Each and every day, if there's anything that we can help you pray about or do, please let us know. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we dismiss this afternoon. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather here, even in a parking lot. Lord, we can open your word. We can sing your praises. We can be challenged from the passages of Scripture that you've provided for us. God, I pray for each and every home that's represented here this afternoon. Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon them. Help them this week, God. Guide them, lead us, Lord, and our families and our jobs, and in each and every part of what comes our way this week. Lord, we'll thank you for it. We love you. Use us this week to be an encouragement to someone else. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.